Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. Yes, it is Wednesday, and we're headed for a wonderful weekend, I hope, and for everyone out there. And yes, some people have to work on the weekends, and we thank them who do work on the weekends in the medical field, in restaurants and hospitals and police, law enforcement. So many people work on the weekends that we don't really think about, and we're very fortunate to have people who do work on the weekends, especially in the holiday season when it gets so very, very busy. People shopping, people trying to get to the malls, trying to get the last-minute gifts, get the bargains, and so forth, and it does get very, very busy indeed. Well, today we're going to talk about Christmas with a very special returning guest who will join us in just a little bit. And his name is Herbie J. Pilato. He is an actor. He is a producer. And he also is an author. And he wrote a wonderful Christmas book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. And it is a wonderful story about not only Christmas, but about his Italian family, friends, and growing up. And he shares those stories with us, which is wonderful. And you're going to enjoy, as well as the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. What could those 12 Best Secrets of Christmas possibly be? Well, we're going to find out in just a moment. And, you know, we don't just celebrate Christmas. We also celebrate Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and other holidays around the world. So we want to recognize them, too. And even if you do not celebrate the holiday season, we still wish you the holiday spirit. And that is very, very important to know that it's for everybody, everybody around the world. Anybody can enjoy the season and the spirit of giving. You know, we've become a me, me, me nation in America. I don't know about your nations, but in America, we have become a me, me, me nation. And we're trying to overturn that so that more people are doing acts of kindness for those less fortunate, because we have so many homeless people today. So we want to remember them as well and wish them a very Merry Christmas. So on that note, I'm going to take a break, and then we will come back, and I will tell you more about Herbie J. Pilato, the actor, the producer, and the author. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a moment. Oh, I wanted to mention, too, that we do incorporate the Justice Club on many of our shows. I knew there was something else I wanted to mention. So I incorporated it once again because I feel like there's so many injustices happening around the world, not just in America, but around the world, that it's important to address those issues as well. So just a little side note there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you.
Stop by to eat or relax, cool down in the desert
with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe.
Don't tell
anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted.
646
One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe, and you'll enjoy a wonderful myriad of desserts as well as home cooking and a cold drink out there in the desert. And I also want to tell you about a wonderful book that I happen to write. It is an international award winner, my second international award-winning book, and it is a political satire. It has funny pictures, and it has a Orwellian fictional story. It is an adventure story, and the theme is the legend of how the Judeo-Christian dinosaur nation was depopulated and suffered extinction. So you won't want to miss that, and I'm going to take a break and let them tell you a little bit more about it and where you can find Obamasaurus.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right. It's available at Amazon.com. And our guest is having a little bit of trouble calling in. So let's see if I can get a hold of him and see what is happening. I hope we're not having a technical problem here, but I don't see one currently. So on that note, let me tell you about Herbie J. Pilato, and hopefully he can get through. The background of Herbie J. Pilato is that he is a writer, a producer, he's a TV personality, and he has credits including CNN's 8-part series, History of the Sitcom, The Reels Channel, Autopsy on Elizabeth Montgomery's Bravo, 5-part series, The 100 Greatest TV Characters, and TLC's Behind the Fame specials on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And he also has done TV DVD documentaries you've probably seen for Sony, NBC Universal, Warner Brothers, including box sets for The $6 Million Man, Chips, and The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson and Family Ties. As an actor, he's appeared on Highway Heaven, The Golden Girls, General Hospital, and The Bold and the Beautiful. So he's quite a background, and he is a returning guest. So we'll wait a little while, and we'll see if he can get through, and then we will enter into the world of authors and experts. You know, it's really important to know what is going on around the world, because we are living in a world of unrest. Many people are concerned about what is happening and to our country in the United States of America and to Canada and to China and to Russia, to Ukraine, to the Middle East, to Mexico, and to Australia, and to Europe. All these countries are changing, and these countries are changing rapidly. So we want to make sure that no matter what's going on, we are prepared for any type of emergency, especially since we've been hit with so many natural disasters and in recent years, including wildfires. And on that note, I'm going to take a break again because I think we can get through to Herbie in just a moment. We're just having a little bit of a technicality, and if not, then we will talk about the Justice Club and what is happening around the country. So don't touch that dial. Again, we will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right, because the Horseshoe Cafe is actually a landmark restaurant. And it's been there almost 100 years. And not only has it been there almost 100 years, it has the original murals that were painted many, many years ago when the restaurant was built and by a famous artist. And the city helps the owners pay for those murals to be preserved because you can't just hire just anybody off the street who's an artist. You have to have someone who specializes in preserving the original work of those artists who painted those murals, just like when they painted all the beautiful artwork on the ceilings in cathedrals and hotels many, many years ago. Same thing has to happen with those particular paintings as well. Cannot just hire anybody. You have to hire people who have that talent that can keep the original artwork original. And so it's very expensive to do that. So I just wanted to let you know that those original paintings are still on the landmark restaurant of the Horseshoe Cafe in Benson, Arizona. And I think that's really important to preserve landmarks in this nation. And states should protect their landmarks because we are losing our country. We are losing our history. We are witnessing our history being changed right before us. We are witnessing the United States Constitution being trampled upon, being ignored and rewritten and changed, which is not the job of presidents of the United States of America or anyone else. It must go through Congress and also through the Supreme Court of the United States of America, where it can also be challenged should Congress attempt to change anything in the Constitution, because the Congress is paid by the American taxpayers to preserve the original United States of America constitutional rights, liberties, and freedoms, and secure borders and legal immigration, which includes assimilation, vetting, background checks, and detain and deport. But a president of the United States in 2009 decided on his own to change that by using an executive order to change detain and deport and tie the hands of law enforcement who were prohibited from background checks and vetting and for detaining and deporting bad dudes coming into our country or illegally trespassing on our nation. And it's no longer illegal immigration. Illegal immigration was when we had, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a dozen people from Mexico or South America or some other country sneaking into the USA illegally. And so that was illegal immigration. But when you have caravans funded by billionaires from third world nations who are impoverished and crime-ridden, forcing their way into our country and no longer even have to force their way into our country, but walk across our borders and expect the American people, the middle class, the working bees, the worker bees, to pay for their housing, their food, their Obamacare, their iPhones, their transportation, and then use and abuse our Social Security to fund them, or Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medicaid, and also welfare that was intended for Americans who lost their jobs or went through a bad divorce or an illness and needed time to get back on their feet, or for those who are mentally and physically challenged and can't get back on their feet and can't go to work. So that's what it was intended for. But now we are not only using the welfare system and the scan system that was for approved for Americans who were down and out on their luck, especially during this holiday season. We are now witnessing all that money being plundered, and I mean plundered, and drained for, I would say, 40 or 50 million illegals inside our country right now. Because in 2021, I posted on Facebook that the MSM and the government continued to state that we had 12 million illegals in our country. The truth is that was impossible, because that was in the 1990s. This is 2023. So in 2021, with the influx of flying in illegals, fake refugees tied to extremist groups who are anti-American, anti-Jew, anti-Christian, and anti-Western civilization, flown in secretly using our tax dollars that were diverted to do so into the USA every night secretly, while DHS put them on buses and scattered them around our country. And then they set up these no-go zones on America's homeland that the American people own. So it's been quite a change and transformation of America. And that change I posted on Facebook in 2021 had to be adjusted, because it appeared to me there had to be at least 30 million illegals inside the USA in 2021. But Stanford University then posted like a week or two later that their studies had shown that there were 29.5 million illegals in our country in 2021. So I wasn't that far off in my guesstimation. Today I am guesstimating there are 40 or 50 million, because they're not coming in sixes or 12s or 24s now. They are coming in caravans, on boats, on planes, on walking across our borders from caravans and trucks and any other way they can get here. And they are not being stopped, and they are not being vetted or background checked. They have no identification. And they're bringing children without guardians and some are claiming it's their children. There is no way to know whose children those are. Their little children, their babies, or even the females who may be trafficked in and out of the USA through the open border policy that is unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful. So who's liable for all this, and who's responsible for destroying the United States of America's economic and military and strong law enforcement agencies, who the foreigners and even Americans who join in decide to chant defund the police, defund ICE, defund the sheriffs, defund Border Patrol, and cry out for unsecured borders, open borders. What open borders do is they create a borderless nation. Not only do they create a borderless nation, it creates a non-nation, because only a sovereign nation has borders. So we are no longer, according to those in control of our government over the past three decades or more, have decided we are a non-nation in reality, because they refuse to uphold, defend, protect, and preserve the United States Constitution that lawfully, legally, and constitutionally mandates secure borders for the safety and the welfare of the legal Americans who pay taxes, who work, and who were born on this soil, or who immigrated as legal, loyal, natural-born Americans. And we deserve to be safe in our own country, and that's why we pay public servants. So why don't these public servants want to uphold their sworn oath to uphold, preserve, defend, and protect the United States Constitution? That is the question. And I don't know the answer, other than we have gone rogue in this country, and our Congress in the past and currently has failed the American people. And that's where we're at. And so it's very complicated. It's convoluted. And so let me... Hi. Hold on a second, folks. Hi, Sylvia. I was waiting for you to call in and talk about your book. Are you...
Okay. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Are you on
the air
right now?
Yeah. Oh. We're waiting for you.
Okay. yes. Hi. It's just crazy business here.
Okay.
This is crazy. And I'm so sorry, everybody.
That's all right. Call in on the 646-564-9742 number.
When it's 646.
564-9742.
8742, okay.
9742, yeah, thanks. Bye. Okay, Ruby got caught up in his holiday season. I knew there was an issue there, but he'll be calling in. So anyway, I got to tell you about this lawless, rogue government we are living in and paying for their wages, their vacations, their Cadillac health care, their pension, and all their quirks and partying, jetting about. Well, we are suffering the consequences of probably 40 or 50 million illegals who are draining our welfare system, our scan, our housing, our food costs. After pandemic, when we lost all the crops and they killed the pigs and the chickens, dumped eggs and milk and meat, and caused loss of jobs and businesses across the nation. So why would they allow caravans of 10,000 people coming into our nation who are skyrocketing our cost of living. So just food for thought. And on that note, we're going to join our very special returning guest who got caught up in the Christmas season, which is understandable, Herbie. I knew something like that had to happen. How are you?
Well, I'm very good. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry, Merry Christmas. You know, I'm in the midst of writing this other Christmas book, which is Christmas TV Memories, which is going to cover all the Christmas specials, animated variety specials, TV movies, episodes of classic TV shows from essentially the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and probably every other decade. So I'm just so crazy busy. And that deadline for that book is the 15th. Anyway, not as though that should be an excuse, but that's what's happening.
Well, let me tell you, as a writer, I have missed appointments because I understand you get caught up in this writing and researching and editing and reading, and the time just flies. So I decided I've got to leave a little timer that goes off for appointments. I understand totally. And anyone who writes understands.
And you know what it is, Rose? Writing, you know, whether it's an article or a book or a blog post or whatever, it's like endless homework. That's how I explain it, you know? It's like the homework never ends. And
no.
But it's the same, you know, what are the options, you know, for people who love to write? I don't even think I really love to write. I'm compelled to write. After it's done, I'm very proud of it. But it's work.
It is absolutely work, and that's why many, many people say, oh, I'm going to write a book, or I've always wanted to write a book. But most people do not write books because it is tedious, and unless you have a passion for it and a passion for your topic and your subject or whatever you're writing about, they will quit. I mean, I've known so many people that started, and they said, oh, that's too much work. I can't do that.
It's true. And you know what? I can really understand that, you know, big, big time. But anyway, I'm excited that you've invited me on the show, and I appreciate it so much. And, you know, along with the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas this year, which, you know, came out officially last year, I now have this little Christmas, 12 Best Secrets of Christmas mug that people can order with the book. So there's that. And yeah.
That's a good idea. That's a cute one. I like that.
Well,
makes
but,
a cute
know,
little gift with the book, too.
Yeah. Well, when you order directly from me as opposed to on Amazon, you can get the mug from me as well. But there's also a spot where I can, and I can send you the link or whatever, and you could share it maybe with your listeners at some other point. But the mug and the coffee thing and the tea, it just seemed to be a cozy fit for the book, you know?
It does. So can you give us a link now, or do you have one to give?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's see. What is it here? Let's see. it is, you go to Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y, and do a search for Herbie J. Pilato Holiday Gifts. You will see the mug. But you could also, as I say, you contact me either through Facebook or Instagram or my website, HerbieJPilato.com, and say that you would like the Christmas mug with, you know, the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas book, and I will tell you how to order that specifically.
Oh, perfect. So, Herbie, give our audience, I gave them a little bit of your background earlier, and then I went into a little bit about what's going on in the world. And once between, I knew something happened, so I was trying to get hold of you as well. So they learned a little bit, food for thought in between that. And
there you
so,
go.
And so you know how the show must go on.
Yes.
Anyway, glad you're here. So tell them a little, tell our audience who didn't hear, you know, maybe didn't hear or are new to the show, a little bit about your background. I may have missed some things here.
Well, you know, I'm from Rochester, New York, which is what the book centers around in my experiences growing up in Rochester in the 60s and 70s at Christmas. And I had a beautiful family, a large Italian-American family. Both my mother and father had several siblings who, of course, had children, and every night in our house was a party, somehow, some way for somebody. And then I went, I left Rochester after I graduated from Nazareth College there, which is a beautiful school, moved to L.A., became an NBC page, wanted to become an actor, you know, like many people who moved to L.A., wanted your own, you know, sitcom. And then I just, when I started working for NBC as a page, I became interested in more in the behind-the-scenes elements of the industry. And there you go. You know, from there, I started producing documentaries. After I started writing books about TV shows that I loved, I started really the first one, which was the Bewitched book, because when I was working at NBC, they did a reunion movie called I Dream of Jeannie 15 years later. And I thought, well, geez, Jeannie was kind of a ripoff of Bewitched, so I think they should do a Bewitched reunion instead, or at least first as well. And Elizabeth Montgomery didn't want to do that, and then I started, I said, how about we do a book about the show, the original show, and that's how I became a writer.
And it's just, you know, that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
So, Herbie, now it's Christmas again, and you have such a lovely, you know, Italian family and friends story, as well as the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, which is the name of the book, for people who should get it and read it and also give it as a gift, make the lovely Christmas gift along with your mug now. Tell us why you decided to write this particular book, and what is the book about?
Well, you know, I have focused my career is in writing on classic TV. And it's always been about a show or whatever that I was enthralled with or that meant something to me. But beyond my NBC and Me book, which is NBC and Me, My Life as a Page, I wanted to do another personal book, you know, something that I could speak of just without doing research except in my head, and that I could share in what I learned and made it universal for everybody. So that's when I'd always loved Christmas. I was very blessed as a kid. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, but man, we had a lot of love, and our Christmases were just amazing. Our house not only was the hub to everybody in the family, but it was the hub to everybody in the neighborhood. It was a hub to friends of the family. Everybody loved Erie Street, you know. It was a kind of a magical thing. So I wanted to do something different beyond my other books. And that ended up being the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, which I have these 12 specific memories that I share, and that there's a message behind each memory. And that message is a secret, you know, that I reveal within each chapter. So it just, you know, these things, you know how writers work. You could be sleeping in the middle of the night, and there's a whisper from the universe on what you should do. And at least that's how it is with me. And I follow through with it, and I follow through with that whisper with the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas.
Well, it's funny you said that, because I used to wake up like, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 in the morning with something that wakes me up with an inspiration. And I learned to write that down because now I keep a pad and pen by my bed for years now, because my very first poem that won an award years ago, and many after that, but it was, came to me, you know, like very early, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, oh, I'll remember that. But you don't remember it exactly as, I mean, I didn't remember it exactly as I heard it. And so after that, I decided I would write that, you know, when an inspiration came, I would jot it down. And so I wouldn't lose it, because I think that's important, you know, because we do go back to sleep and we forget, you know. We might think we're going to remember it, but most of us don't, you know.
We hope we're going to remember it, but most of us don't, yes.
So anyway, can you tell us one of the 12 stories about a secret in your book?
Yes. We used to play cards after dinner, you know. Like, we'd have our dinner. Well, we manged all through the night. We ate. That's how you do in Italian households, you know. You eat.
Right.
But we would have the formal dinner on Christmas Eve. It was at Erie Street. And then about 11:30 or so, we would try to hold out and open the gifts by then. But, of course, the kids, no, let's open them now at 9:30. We don't want to wait till 11:30. So we would open the gifts. And then we would have, after we opened the gifts, we'd have sausage at 12 midnight. Some would go to midnight mass. And then we'd play cards. And the men of the family would play poker at my Aunt Alva's house, because we had like a double red brick house. My Aunt Alva lived on one side with Uncle Carl and my cousin Evie, and my Aunt Alva was my mother's sister. And then we lived, the Pilatos, my mother, my father, and my sister and myself, on the other side. So the men would go to Uncle Carl's, the Eastons, to play poker, and then the rest of us, you know, the kids and the women, whatever, and the cousins, would play what we used to call a card game. Oh, geez, I can't think of it. But it was like 7 designated hands of gin. And there would be yelling and arguing. And, you know, maybe there would be $7 in the pot, if that. But there would be yelling and arguing, and everybody would just, you know, come at each other. But there we were, whether we were arguing or not, every Christmas Eve together, you know, because that's what we wanted to be. And the secret of that chapter is play cards, you know. Play cards with those you love. Play cards with the friends in your life. And no matter what, even if you end up, you know, arguing about who won or who cheated, play cards.
Well, the funny part about that is my family, the adults when we were kids, always played cards after eating. My grandma would go, manja, 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 and, you know, a lot of spaghetti, meatballs, sausage, you know, whatever. And then they'd all sit around and they'd have their wine and their singing and their, I mean, you just have to be in that atmosphere to understand what that love and that family life was with the Italians, you know. And I think the Jews, too, do the same thing. And you sit around and other old country families.
I mean, all.
But not all
Spanish
families. I think they had to be the ones that came from the old country they brought that custom with them.
Many families, many African-American families, many Latino families. I mean, the Spanish people know how to throw a party, but they're very, very, very family-oriented. you know. So different cultures, many different cultures have that family thing, which is really the message of the book, that this book is not just for Catholic Italian Americans. It's for everyone, because everybody loves the holidays, and everyone has a special memory of the holidays. And that's the great thing, too, is that people of different cultures have read this book, and they go, you know, Herbie, your life really wasn't as different as mine. You know, I'm Jewish, or I'm African-American. Love is love. I mean, for gosh sakes, love is love.
Yeah, but, you know, those old traditions, you know, they aren't as frequent as they used to be because people didn't travel like they do. They didn't go on vacations for holidays, you know, and they just didn't do all that, you know. And now people move to other countries. They move to other states. Families do. So if that grandparents and parents who were into, you know, those family traditions pass away, or they, you know, the younger people start moving away or marrying or going to school in other countries. I mean, it's so different now. Everybody's so busy, busy, busy. And our family still try to keep some of that tradition alive and with family, especially for the holidays. And so I think the cards was interesting because that's what they did after they had dinner, was the adults played cards, and my dad always cheated. And then when we, you know, when they caught him, he'd just laugh and he'd deny it, you know.
You see, now, there you go. There you go. And you're so right about what you said about the traveling. I mean, we lived maybe, I think the farthest resident of one of our relatives was maybe 5 miles or maybe 7 miles away. But other than that, they either lived a mile away, a block away, up the street, 2 miles away. And everybody was home. Everybody stayed home. We didn't even go out on New Year's Eve. You know, we would have a big dinner at home on New Year's Eve. And we would throw the confetti up in the house. You know, we didn't need to go to New York City or any, you know, outside affair downtown. Those things didn't matter to our family.
No, and it was real family time and friends and neighbors, you know, bringing you goodies and the biscuits.
Yes. I remember my mom used to, for Easter anyway, she would go around in our neighborhood, which nobody had any money. It was, you know, inner city. And she would collect. I might cry about this one, but she would collect for the American Cancer Society. And maybe she'd come home with $1 or $2, you know, that people give 10 cents here, 20. But in the big scheme universe of the thing, of what really matters, she did her part, you know. And it's really, you know, that's what Christmas is about. It's not about the materialistic gifts. It's about you doing your part as a kind person, whether you collect $1 billion for the American Cancer Society or whether you just go buy a dollar ornament at the dollar store and give it to somebody who you could make their day. It's about the simple things.
Or you can bake bake something, cookies, whatever. Yeah. You can make a craft. There's a lot of people who are very crafty and can make a craft for somebody, you know. I mean, there's so many things you can do without spending a ton of money. And I think you brought up a good point, was that we back then didn't spend a lot of money on gifts, at least my family. You got to pick out your major gift. And, you know, and so that took like a month to decide between us kids.
Right. Well, we used to have a grab bag on Thanksgiving Day, and everybody would have one gift. The adults would do that. They would pick a name, But the kids, me and my cousins, we would go to like Woolworth, and I'll never forget it. And we would buy, I would get like 5 mugs for $1 and give 1 mug to each uncle. My cousin Jimmy and I even went and bought 3 panties for the female cousins and would give 1 panty to each female cousin. You know, we were kids. It was 3 panties for $1. You know, that was it. And then we'd go to McDonald's and get the gift certificates for 50 cents. And we were, it used to bring us so much joy. Oh, Rose, it was, I miss it. I miss it so much.
I do too. Those are the years that I really, really cherish, you know, with everybody was at grandma's house all the time. We lived behind them so for a long time, so I was always there. And so, yeah, and it's real family, real unconditional love. And that, you know, it's just, it's warmth, you know you're in a safe space and no matter what you do, you're in a safe space. And I think, yeah, and I also think, you know, like today it's so different because, you know, kids want this $1,500 phone, $2,000 computer. It boggles my mind because we had to build lemonade stands and we had to do chores and do different things in order to earn money as children. If we wanted something special, we had to at least help save for it. And, you know, it wasn't just handed to us. And now they have credit cards. And I mean, it's so different. It's so materialistic today. I think that's the difference between what your book is about and the 12 best secrets of Christmas and versus today's world, which it would be very difficult to get that back today because of the cost of living skyrocketing and so many homeless people. It's frightening to think about how many people are going to go hungry this holiday season and are cold or, you know, sleep out in the cold. And so it's so changed. And I feel we're so fortunate to have you write this book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, because America was different. And it was wasn't the same, and it wasn't as materialistic as it is today.
No.
What do you think?
It was, you know, they thought we were, right? I mean, even then we thought there was always so much commercialism. But it's just totally out of hand. And I don't know what the answer is except to stop. People have to stop because the Mercedes and the second Mercedes or the bigger house is not the answer. The stylish clothes are not the answer. And don't get me wrong. I love money. Okay. I enjoy it, but I do not love it more than people. Okay, I love the gift giver more than the gift. You know, that's also in the book. That particular phrase, love the gift giver, not the gift. And when
that's
we
a,
can
that's
get
that's a
that
beautiful
straight,
phrase.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. When we can get that straight, you know, then we're on our way back to civilization, because we're losing civilization. There's no more civil or civility in civilization. Everyone, you know, that is rude, getting ruder on when you travel. Everyone's stressed out. Everyone is, you know, just totally confused, and everything is so complicated. Because they make it complicated. The simplicity of life is
I don't think people were as angry especially young people, and I guess all ages, were as angry as they are today. And from, you know, all the news and the social media, because they can videotape everything now. But I don't believe they were as angry as they are today, because people used to actually, if you remember, smile, say good morning, good afternoon, good night, how are you? You know, do you need something? You know, and knew all their neighbors and friends and could count on them. I remember my dad, you know, would just do a handshake with another man. There was no contract. There was no lawyer. That was their word. That was it, you know. And they follow through. And so, I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't crime, but it wasn't as rampant as it is today, where young people were just walking into stores and stealing all the holiday gifts and walking out with them, bags filled with whatever they want in broad daylight without any consequences.
Why is that allowed now? Why is everybody afraid to not do anything about that? What's the problem with that?
It's a serious
problem. I hear that employees are not allowed to stop people from ripping off the store and walking out of the store and stuff. Why are they not allowed to stop them now? What's the reason?
If I had to guess, I would guess that that political correctness and that tolerance is now part of fear in the minds of the owners of those stores, that they'll come back and retaliate against them. I mean, that's all I can figure out. I don't know.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I mean, that's pretty pathetic, right?
That is really pathetic. That is extremely pathetic, yes.
Yeah, and unless the store owners take, you know, take a stand and don't tolerate it, it's not going to stop. I mean, I can't believe what I witnessed on these videos where in broad daylight they're just walking into stores with bags and filling them up and walking out. And it makes me sad for our country, because this was not the country we knew and grew up in. So who's responsible? Is it our leaders? What do you think?
I think that the middle ground, the moderate middle ground of being calm and being able to have your own opinion and to be a critical thinker, all of that has been shot out the window and replaced by extreme conservatism and extreme liberalism. I think that there are now two extremities that are destroying not only the country, but the world, because everything is just either this, or that. Nobody even goes down the middle anymore. I do. An example, you know, now I love Frasier, and I love Kelsey Grammer. Am I supposed to not love him now because he believes in Trump and I don't? No. Nobody's going to tell me not to love Frasier or Kelsey Grammer because he's a Republican or because he voted for Trump. Nobody. And it's insane that people would think that or disregard Kelsey because of his politics. It's insane. So
I totally agree with you. I'm glad you said that, because I believe that too. I believe, like, you know, there's someone who said to me, you know, that Susan Sarandon, I love her movies,
yeah.
And and I enjoy them. And then she made some comment, and now it's like she got punished. And I'm like, this is This used to be America where you could express your opinions if you wanted to.
Yeah, but Rose, what she said was kind of rude. That, you know, she said something that was really rude. I mean, I don't agree with it at all.
Believe me, I don't agree with the statement. But she did apologize, and people do say things off the cuff. You know what I mean? They're not thinking clearly.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we're all guilty of that. So I'm a forgiver. If people apologize, I'm a forgiver.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And she did apologize, you know, and what she said was wrong. And people say wrong things all the time. That's the thing. We have to widen our margin of error. And instead, we're lessening it. And if we start pointing fingers at everybody over every little mistake they make, there's going to be no world. There's going to be no world left.
And there is nobody that's perfect. There is nobody. So I say look in the mirror, look in your closet, open the door, look at your skeletons, you know, and then if you have none, go ahead and throw the first stone. But there is nobody on this planet who hasn't said something that they're sorry for. Or just off the cuff, and I've said things. And I said, "Why did I say that? I didn't even. I don't even know where that came from." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if somebody had heard me, they would have been upset, right? So we've all done it, and so I believe in, you know, giving people the benefit of the doubt. And if they say they're sorry, well, why wouldn't I believe they're sorry? Just, you know, I mean, I've said I'm sorry. Please believe me when I say I'm sorry, right? I'm so glad you brought that up, because all this petty stuff of pointing the finger at each other for everything we say or do and destroying lives, reputations, careers, whatever, is not the right way to go in America. We never did it before. If you want to be a Republican, be a Republican. If you want to be a Democrat, be a Democrat. If you don't want to be anything, don't be anything. If you want to be independent, be independent. That's America. You can be who vote for whoever you want. People change parties all the time too.
I think the social media has really played into this, because whereas you'd watch the news every night on ABC or CBS or whatever in the 60s and 70s and 80s, yada yada, and it would be for that week or that day. But news stories happen every second. They're reported every second. And then everybody has an opinion now that they can show the whole world. So this platform of opinions, social media, is destroying, you know, the country. It's destroying personalities and freedom of speech. Because
they're destroying freedom of speech, opinion, and I mean, if you say something they don't like, you're gone off their platform, you know, and it's like, well, you're a CEO of a business. When did you become the czar of freedom of speech, you know, without a badge, without being taxpayer funded as a in the Department of Justice, you know? I'm serious, you know, if you think that somebody's committing a crime or they accuse people of hate speech, hate crimes, all this, they aren't law enforcers. Well, then report it to law enforcement and let them decide.
Right.
Right? It's not up to private corporations to decide who can say what and who's actually saying something mean or hateful or whatever. That, you know, the tone of tweets has no tone. You take it any way you want.
Right. Right.
I mean, like I said to one of my family members, says, what did you mean by that? And I said, I was joking. And then I looked at it again. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't get to joke, but I do now. You know what I'm saying? Because it has no tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
you might
mean it to be funny, but somebody else says, wow, that was rude, or that was a hate speech or whatever. No, that's your opinion, right? Well, now that we have actually went off our topic, but it does go into how things have changed in America and how we have to be more kind to each other. And that is the spirit of Christmas. Isn't that true?
Oh, my gosh. Of course. I mean, it's the message of Christmas is a universal message of love. You know, it's however, you know, whether you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus, you know, as an historical person, he was one of the most beautiful people that ever lived. And, you know, for many, the story of the birth of Christ is really the birth of love in each of our hearts, you know, in our bodies, which are the temples of love. And that's one way to look at it, too. So whether, again, you see it as a mythology or a fact or whatnot, hey, it's still a great story about love. And that's what Christmas is all about. Charlie Brown. I love him lying. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I love that, Herbie. And, gosh, we ran out of time, unfortunately, but I want you, Herbie, to tell our audience about your book again and any message for the holiday season and also where they can find your books and your mug. Once again,
thank you.
Time to shine.
Well, you can find all of my books either on, you can order them directly from me at herbiejpilato.com, or you find me on Facebook and order them there, or Amazon. And by the way, I have two new books this year in addition. It's actually three. The Retroactive Television book, which is a history of the positive classic TV shows, and Sean Connery biography. And a new Bionic book, a new edition of the Bionic book. So those are all available on Amazon. As to my Christmas message, widen your margin for error and be forgiving of others. You know, just like the Lord said, God always said, I can't forgive you if there's hate in your heart for someone else. So whether you believe in God or Moses or Jesus or Mr. Spock, you know, just believe in love and say Merry Christmas to those who appreciate it, and don't feel offended if somebody mistakenly says Merry Christmas to you. They're only doing it out of love.
Beautiful. Thank you, Herbie and Jay Pilato, and we love you, and we'll have you back again. You can talk about your new books, and Merry Christmas. God bless
Merry Christmas, and God bless you, Rose.
Thank you, Herbie. Bye-bye. And Herbie J. Pilato has left the building, and Rose Colombo has to leave the building, too. But enjoy your holiday season, and do acts of kindness, and remember, Christmas is about love, and that's what it's all about. And be sure to get the 12 best secrets of Christmas as a gift or for yourself, and also get a copy of Obamasaurus. And we'll talk again next Wednesday with another very special guest who will be empowering us on influence and power, in fact.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.